AltalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution, an online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
What's going on here?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
We're all going to have so much fucking fun we'll need plastic surgery to remove our goddamn smiles.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling.
Now you're talking.
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Now you listen to me, fat ass. You do what I say and there won't be any problem, okay?
The Omega.
I'm not your ordinary everyday fool. Okay?
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I think you're all fucked in the head.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
Oh, great. Well, better make some space for him in the back.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God damn it anyway.
And the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
You'll be whistling Symphony Nuda out of your asshole.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho. And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
Don't you tell me what to do. I'll do what I want.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is WrestleMania Part 2.
Because it's too big for just one night.
Did you hear that yet? Has it gotten it through your heads?
I've been saying it since last night. It's just been too big for just one night.
Don't have to hear it anymore.
No, we have to hear it for 2 more hours because it's just too big for one night.
Oh, God. So, yes, it is WrestleMania. It is 2 nights worth of wrestling. There is a lot to talk about. And hopefully we can remember it all through the head trip we just watched. It is a stacked card. It is a stacked night. We need to get on with it. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, we have the producer, Sir Rockin.
I'm here to talk more wrestling. I think that's what I've been doing for hours now.
Never stop talking wrestling. Always talk more wrestling.
I've talked a lot of wrestling this week. I think this is hour 7 of me on the air talking wrestling.
If this had been a normal weekend, you would have had like twice as much wrestling to talk.
We went 3.5 hours on Thursday previewing the show. It's been a long.
Well, start the timer. We'll find out how long it takes to talk about the whole thing.
We did 2.5 hours last night, so let's keep going.
Along for the ride, we have once again Keishi Matsunaga.
Yay, I made it into the intro. I hope there's still room in the back for me.
Yeah, you know it's WrestleMania night because we got a new intro playing and everything, new voiceover. Like, you get to be special guest. I like the emphasis that got put on my name.
Yeah, you did a good job. That's local radio guy Mookie Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for the assist. And, of course, the one who is now, like, the host, according to the new intro, so it says. The one and only Tim Stein.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Nothing happened, so we're just coming on to say hi, bye, see you later.
Yeah, not an eventful weekend at all.
No.
Oh, we're actually going to continue. Okay.
Yeah, we're actually we're not going to bullshit like that. It was a lot of matches, and there were so many matches they had to have two nights to do it. You see, I didn't do what he's been doing all month long.
You mean it's just too big for just one night?
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Wow, Tim, wow. Why not?
Yeah, so there you go. Nice. Really good. Yeah, I deliberately screwed up what you've been doing. Yeah, that's just the way it goes.
Is that the way the cookie crumbles?
That's the way the cookie gets dipped into the milk and the ship blows up.
Why am I here?
Exactly.
Tim, no, it's straight whole milk. It's not whole skim milk mixed.
Well, I thought that he put in some low fat with some whole milk and the ship blew up.
It's not, that didn't happen here.
Okay. For those of you wondering what I'm talking about, you got to track down Richard Pryor.
And he has an interesting way of talking about how he got set on fire doing drugs.
And it wasn't drugs. He likes his milk and cookies. Long story. You got to, if you've never heard it, track it down, because it's absolutely the funniest way of describing a very near tragedy, and he did an admirable job. I have always been and always will be a Richard Pryor fan, so just like George Carlin, Omega.
Now, once upon a time, Comedy Central ranked the number one top comedians of all time, and Carlin was two, and Pryor is one, and I would personally disagree with that stance, but they're both up there.
They're both different types of comedians.
I'm sure those two names are interchangeable.
I mean, they're both observational humor, but it's so night and day, the observations of these two guys. And they're both, as far as I'm concerned, they're 1A, 1B. But you know, that's that. Anyway, really quickly, thank you very much, Mookie Wilson, 95.9 FM. If you ever want to check out the radio station, you can find it online, 95.9 FM, Calgary. Google it and listen to it, because they stream. So they're available anywhere in the world, and you can hear Mookie. He's the morning dude there. Brings a lot of energy. That's for goddamn sure. He sent me about three or four different versions of that intro, and I took them all, and I took the best parts of all of them and made them into one. And that's why there's that emphasis on your name, Omega, because that was the only time out of all the other samples he sent me that your name was emphasized like that. And I'm like, oh shit, he'll like it. We got to use that.
Oh yeah. That's like proper, like we're talking pro wrestling kind of intro.
The Omega. Yeah, that's the one.
Right here, live on
I'm
the Wild
just
Top Radio Network.
I said my name right.
Well, I had to coach him on that one, Casey. He sends me, yeah, is your name pronounced Steiner Steen? And what about the Jap dude? And I'm like, that's racist.
Okay. Casey Mitsubishi.
Yeah. I think at one point in time he's going to call you Keshi. But nobody calls you Keshi.
No, nobody.
Not after he got corrected. Isn't that right, Rock? Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so Keshi, what did you think of the show?
See, told you.
I mean, I thought it was too big for just one night.
All right, you stop that. Oh, God. You're just the guest host.
He's just a local yokel filling in.
You're just the special guest. No, you don't have that privilege yet.
He could say just for
no, I can be forgotten just as easily as people forget to pronounce my name properly.
There you go. Why don't you take a book out of Star Trek The Motion Picture? All style, no substance.
All right, we have 18 plus matches to get into. Let's get into
it. Oh my God. Yeah, you're right. First off, let's talk about Rob Gronkowski.
What about him, bro?
I had no idea Max Headroom had a son.
Yeah, the only thing missing was the video clip stutter.
I mean, if your network connections was shit, you'd have it.
Well, actually, you know what? I think he did his best to try to incorporate that with that herky jerky dance he does. Would it be Gronk? But yeah, I guess he doesn't like changing clothes. You know, like it's a two-night event. You figure that you'd have a change of clothing for the second night.
He changed.
All the tailors are closed down right now. Like that's the one he got. That's the one he's sticking with.
There you go. And yeah, Mojo helped them out. I mean, so at least they found something for Mojo to do.
I mean, Mojo in his one suit jacket. No, Gronk changed. Yesterday he had zipper up, today he was zipper down. I mean, that's two different looks.
That's an alteration, which is not the same as a change.
It's two different looks.
Absolutely.
He listed lazily to the left with his wardrobe.
Okay, that'll work. All right, let's dive into this thing right now. Okay, first time ever in 36 years. WrestleMania has been split into two nights. Initial ideas on the entire concept, Omega?
I mean, conceptually? Like, because of the existing circumstances, this is probably the one year where they would actually be able to do that rather than try and book the same stadium two nights in a row, get that many people in there two nights in a row, and charge tickets for both. It'd be a mess.
Well, don't they kind of do that anyway, normally, like with NXT on one night and then WrestleMania on
Sunday? But it's really it's a much smaller venue that night. Usually NXT runs wherever that they booked Raw for Monday.
Yeah, no, this is true. Definitely, if I were ever to go to WrestleMania, I would get that separate ticket for NXT.
Yeah, but ironically enough, this was also the first year that they did this in Japan for Wrestle Kingdom. Though they did it specifically because they knew we have too many goddamn matches. We need to split this into two events.
Yep.
This was more of an editing convenience.
Yeah. And
you know what? Well, honestly, like, it was actually nice to go through WrestleMania and have, like, oh, I've still got something to look forward to tomorrow. And, like, this isn't, like, terribly exhausting to sit through the whole thing.
It would have been. It usually is.
I mean, it would have been 6.5 hours.
But it's just weird that nobody could get a ticket. That's all I'm saying.
Sold out. Best seats. We had the best seats in the house tonight, though.
I don't know what you're talking about. Vacant and his entire family were there.
Hey, little Jimmy's family was there. Is that little Jimmy or little Johnny? I keep forgetting.
I keep telling you, it was all the John Cena clones from his WrestleMania entrance.
Ooh. Yeah, we'll be talking about John Cena in just a little bit. Now, last night, immediately following night one, The Rock took one for the team, and they actually they reviewed night one and broke down match per match per match per match. And apparently Lindsay's pregnant now, which took me by surprise.
Tim had no idea what that meme was. He had no idea what that meme was.
I'd never seen this meme before. But apparently it had something to do with the exploding ovaries and instant pregnancy. So,
Biker Taker will do that.
He went pregnant? What?
He was
surprised.
I was kind of preoccupied. I had the internet radio turned up because I was doing some shit in the kitchen after Mania Night 1 was taken care of. And I heard this and I'm like, okay, what have I not been told? Run to the computer. What?
Welcome to memes. That's okay.
So there you go. I'm familiar with memes, not that one. We'll take a quick look at the matches from both nights, but we're just going to talk impressions and feelings and all this other stuff that we got from two nights. Otherwise, we'd be here for 4 hours, and I don't have the time. Because so much went down we could talk about. But just overall, Casey, how did it feel to you?
I liked the breakup. I know last year sitting as long as I had to for one whole super long show was definitely tasking. So I didn't mind having to split it up into two nights. And I don't know, I think the way they split it up they paced it pretty good. So I don't know. Yeah, I thought they made a good call. And like others, like you other guys have said, I'm not sure if they could do this going forward with crowded stadiums and stuff like that, but maybe they can. I think a lot of people would appreciate it who go to the live shows and watch it live on TV so that they don't have to sequester an entire one day for it. And I think it's easier to probably split things up over 2 days for planning and not having to tire yourself out watching that much wrestling in a row.
Well, I've got a suggestion and an idea, and I want Omega's feedback first on this one. Taking that concept in front of a huge goddamn crowd, we've already talked about nightmare to sell two tickets for two nights for the same event, yada yada yada. What if you moved WrestleMania permanently to Saturday, but you put all the big matches on the Saturday show, and then Sunday have something called Aftermath? Or something like that, and then put the smaller matches on that one with a slightly cheaper ticket.
No,
would you do that?
No one would go to the second night.
Yeah, no one would give a shit about the second night, and you'd kill the momentum for Raw the next night, which has become a tradition.
Okay, well then switch it. Keep Mania on Sunday, but do a pre-Mania.
Then no one cares about night one. I think they hit a good mix here. One world title on one world title on the other. One gimmick match on one gimmick match on another. One stunt show match on one stunt show match on another. Mm-hmm. It was a good balance. You know, it felt like two complete shows.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll have anything like this ever again. They'll go back to having one excruciating long night. If they can help it, that's my guess. So
six hours of wrestling, three hours of pre-show.
Yeah.
NXT ends just so they begin analyzing WrestleMania.
Absolutely. I don't know. Sometimes you got to wonder.
I'll make sure I have my inflatable donut for next year.
There you go. No, it's just a scenario that I wanted to throw out there because there are going to be one or two people that are going to wonder why that's not done. And our whole concept, just so you know, Casey, is I'll throw out this silly idea and let you guys shoot down why it's a silly idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll probably have TakeOver too. So, I mean, where does TakeOver go if you have two nights of WrestleMania? Where does the Hall of Fame go? Do you start pushing it back? Like, SmackDown's on Friday, so that already takes away one night.
Yep. So, yeah. No, exactly. Correct. Yeah. But, a totally unique experience. I really enjoyed it. It was somewhat surreal, Omega.
I mean, surreal in many ways.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it did feel like two completely different shows. You know, obviously there were Mania level matches and all that. The thing about it is, like, this Mania had a lot of smaller matches on the undercard.
Yep.
Yeah, we literally had some that had no build up whatsoever, and I don't even mean the pre-show matches. But because they are intermixed the way they were, and because they were kept to these smaller half WrestleMania cards, I felt like they got to shine a lot better.
Yeah, well, you had to add those no build up matches, so you had 3 hours a night by splitting it in half. Because usually WrestleMania takes how long?
Too long.
You know, like in one night, it's one night setting is just it is too long. But
last time it was 5.5 hours.
Yeah. So you're averaging 5 to 5.5 hours. We got like 6 hours plus 2 hour pre-show. So like we're at eight hours here.
Yeah. Well, it ended around 10:30. So yeah, we got 6.5 hours.
Yeah.
Last night was a clean, like it's 10 o'clock. We're done.
But how many times have we watched WrestleMania and just felt emotionally or mentally exhausted afterwards? Right.
I mean, is that because of the length or the booking? Because
a little from column A, a little from column B.
Because like last year, we get to the main event, and this is the match I was looking forward to because it's historic. It's Becky Lynch. It's the match that had obviously the most build.
Yep.
And I was just so worn out from the rest of the show being so damn long. I could not focus on it, no matter how much I was into it before.
Yep. In a case of you probably had to watch it a couple of days later just to be able to get your fill of it.
Yeah, and even then, crowd was exhausted too.
Yep.
So they did not have the energy for that match that they should have.
Absolutely. Fully agree with that statement. You've got one problem with this two-night event, Omega. Something about editing?
Well,
let's just get it out of the way.
we'll get to that. I made the observation that it felt like we had the same main event both nights, or at least the same championship match both nights. That was mostly a quirk of the booking, not an editing thing.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Both championship matches featured two guys who only knew one or two moves each during their entire match.
Yeah.
Because this is WrestleMania, so it is two moves for one fight.
Now, the fact that we have a guy that works in the squared circle, able to talk about what I'm about to bring up, is very valuable. And it's a simple case in point. Matches like these two title matches that we've had, there are a lot of matches and a lot of guys, when you put them together, it's just two brutes out-brooding each other. Short matches, and it's over with. Matches like this are designed to work in front of a huge crowd. And it's just the star power and the pop that gets the matches over. And these two matches we're talking about right now are those two matches perfectly. Casey, what do you figure?
Oh, I agree 100%. No. Luckily, the second one had Paul Heyman to get the match over. The first one, I mean, it did okay for kind of what it was. At least I think it was a bit quicker, which was smart. But, it definitely probably would have gone over a lot better if there was a crowd to kind of push it to that next level, at least with Heyman on the, at ringside for the Lesnar McIntyre match. He was able to kind of put over what a lot of people probably would have reflected had there been a crowd.
Yeah. Omega, anything to speak on that?
I mean, I don't know. Mostly my thoughts about the two matches are just venting frustration, because they were literally, it's not even that, oh, it's just two big guys hitting each other with their big moves over and over. It was like literally the matches were booked the same way.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you hit four spears, you hit four power slams, you hit four, you know, claymores, you hit four F5s, and then we'll just call it a show.
Yeah, they were basically clones. Or one, you know, night one was basically cloned for night two.
I will play it devil's advocate a little bit, just because we know how rushed they were to finish filming. They had a limited amount of time because Orlando was going into lockdown. So, not the TNA kind of lockdown, just normal lockdown. And they only had so much time. They only had a couple of days to film the entire thing. So, and reportedly was that they were there, the performance center, filming until like 5 a.m.
Yep.
Getting absolutely everything in. And if anyone was actually there performing a wrestling match past 4 in the morning, I want to know who, so I can applaud you for the rest of your career. when you have that kind of time crunch, things like this are going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to have a few matches cut short. Now, it is weird that it's the two championship matches, but also because of the guys who are booked, because, you know, two big guys, they're both big men matches who can just hit each other with their big moves and call it a day.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that you can get away with that in a way. I expected it for Goldberg. I did not expect it for tonight's match.
No. But what I'm going to do here, we'll just run down the matches from night one. This is in no particular order, by the way. This is not the order that everything happened in. But we've got a new Universal Champion in Braun Strowman taking the belt off of Goldberg. And I'd normally ask you guys for your thoughts and opinions on the match, but we kind of covered this already, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah,
my only additional thoughts are, like, I said it in the preview to this, is that, you know, things like this present opportunity. You know, we've seen Braun Strowman in championship matches over and over and over again and always coming up short, no matter how they book him to be this inhuman monster.
Yep.
So it is interesting that they finally, you know, there's this situation where they finally put them over. Finally actually gave Strowman the title.
Yep. And he could beat Brock, but he finally beat Goldberg.
It's a funny little thing, isn't it? Where you have the Fiend booked the way he is, you can't hurt him, you can't knock him down, you cannot kill him. We've seen him buried under rubble and get right back up. We've seen him blown up and stand right back up. We've seen him no-sell everything that's been thrown at him.
Yep.
But Goldberg could defeat him easily.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the only way they had to write themselves out of that corner, was to book him against someone like Goldberg, who's a demolition machine.
Yep.
And now Braun has easily defeated Goldberg. So now I'm just wondering, like, how powerful is Braun Strowman at the moment?
That's a hard question to answer, isn't it?
We'll have to wait till Friday.
Dun, dun, dun. Or wait a minute. Dun, dun, dun. There you go. That's the one. So there it is. Strowman is your Universal Champion. Let's talk about the Raw Women's title match while we're at it. Shayna Baszler taking on Becky Lynch. Cage fighter. Shayna built up right from the get-go as the female Brock Lesnar. She's the woman monster. She's the MMA bitch taking a bite out of you, for lack of a better way to put it.
Trying to come up with a better phrase.
Yeah.
Failing. Nope, bitch.
Nope, we're going back to it. Yeah, that's it. But hey, a wrestler beats an MMA star. We've never seen this before. Wait a minute.
Really?
There you go.
Have you seen Ken Shamrock's career?
Yeah, there you are. But let's just go back to last year, Becky Lynch beating two other women to grab the titles. How did she win that title last year? Who did she beat, and how did she beat her?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, right? Ronda Rousey with a clean pin. A simple roll-up for the 1-2-3. Shayna Baszler, cage fighter, MMA. Tough. Here it is, bitch. And I have to admit that I was hoping that Shayna would win. But I was kind of sort of half expecting Shayna would win. What happened?
Well, we know what happened.
Yeah.
They need security. They need their most popular meal ticket on the show with the title, where she is nice and popular.
Yep.
And, yeah, that's what happens. Because otherwise, you know, things go to according to plan. You don't squash half of the Raw Women's Division for nothing.
Yeah.
You don't have her go in there and eliminate everyone else in the Elimination Chamber like it's nothing if you're just going to have Becky Lynch get a clean win.
Mm-hmm. What happened? Becky Lynch got a clean win.
Well, I mean,
simple,
clean, yes, but not decisive. So there's still room to work with it. And I mean, something similar happened in NXT with Kairi Sane. So
mm-hmm.
It's not out of the realm of possibility that they're going to continue with it.
Well,
it's kind of like it's kind of like, oh, you got lucky, and now Shayna Baszler's really angry, and watch out.
So yeah, then, unlike
that pushes
unlike,
things a little further, right?
Yeah, well, unlike last year, Ronda, that was her. I'm fucking off for 18 months. Yeah. Shayna's not going anywhere. This is not done by a long shot. No, but the thing I'm pointing out here, it's a roll up, 1-2-3, clean pin for the win against two MMA stars, and it's kind of like the bookers, you know, Vince. Saying, yeah, okay, sure, all these MMA stars coming over here. No. It's just, you know, the thing I'm reading into it is all. You get it?
Oh, yeah.
But that's just me. Yeah, but no, this is definitely not over and done with. We've got a lot of mileage yet to travel between Shayna and Becky. Eventually, is Shayna going to beat her, you think?
I think eventually she has to. Because at this point, like, you don't really have anywhere for Becky to go. She's beaten everyone. She's done everything you can. And with the kind of buildup they had for Shayna, I'm not sure you have any other option but to take the title off of Becky right now.
No. Now, here's a speculation. All over social media, the internet wrestling community, we got people in our chat room right now. Well, wait until Ronda comes back. Ronda come back. I don't see Ronda coming back anytime soon.
I mean, we know she had a meeting with WWE headquarters.
Yeah.
So that part is up in the air. We don't know what that meeting was about or what it was Yeah, essentially, yeah, we didn't know what it was about. But we just know she talked to Vince recently, and Vince was not happy about that leaking out.
Yeah. Usually, after Vince has a meeting with certain individuals with star power, if it's a positive thing for Vince and WWE, you get news of it spreading like a weed. Starts off slow and then just builds complete momentum. There's no, you know, like the positivity. There's no real news coming out of what this meeting was. When that happens, yeah, it didn't go the way Vince wanted. And we all know what happens when Vince doesn't get what he wants.
Yeah.
Triple H is forced to take out the garbage.
They did get demoted.
So, yeah, I enjoyed the match. It was good. I don't really have much of anything else to say about it. What about you guys?
I know it's a solid enough match. You know, I wish they had saved the truck for just tonight.
That big old semi rig that.
Yeah, because otherwise it just looks like she just drives that around Orlando and like, no.
She drives from one end of the parking lot to the other. The rest of the time it tolls a WWE trailer. Just like all the other painted ones do. Have you guys ever passed a WWE truck on the road after a house show or a SmackDown or a Raw?
Nope. I did once.
Yeah, here in Calgary, right, Cash?
No, I was actually on my way to Portland, and they were heading there for a pay-per-view. This was about a decade ago, but before they had faces on the trucks, and they were just plain old black trucks with WWE logos on them.
Yeah, okay. On more than one occasion, heading up Deerfoot, which is the main freeway here in Calgary over to Canada, after a SmackDown or a Raw or a house show has been in Calgary, I have on more than one occasion passed the WWE trucks heading to Edmonton for the show the next night up in Edmonton, which is a three-hour drive from here in a car, never mind a semi. So they get on the road at like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and they show up in Edmonton at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, kudos to the truck drivers doing that. But I guess I get the power nap during the house shows. But I've seen the rigs. You know, you got the different tractor trailers that have different things painted on it. Some would just say, you know, the black with the WWE logo and it says WWE on it. And you got some that are painted with superstars, and some of the cabs are painted like we see Becky's face on that one cab. But they got the different superstars. I've seen a John Cena. It depends on who's hot at the time. They will spend money to get these things repainted, and it usually takes about 2-3 days in the shop to repaint these things. So, but I have passed a few of them with different superstars' faces and names on the cabs. So, you know, Becky driving her own rig. Yeah, it looks really good. Suspend reality for a minute, and you're thinking that, oh, hey, she's got her own semi. That's cool. And of course, she's just driving it from the part of the parking lot where all the trailers are set up.
Yeah, I don't think she's legally licensed to drive that any farther.
No, but she does pretty good. I mean, I think I only saw it jerk once or twice. So
better than I could probably do.
Probably. Well, it depends on whether or not Subway's in there.
To be fair, it depends on how many times they let you rehearse it.
There you go. Because it's all taped. You never. It's just, yeah, it's just, this is live. No, it's not. It was live 2 hours ago. next match, the Intercontinental title match. Somebody brought up Sami Zayn versus Daniel Bryan. I do believe we were talking about this could be a good match if they let Sami be Sami.
Mm-hmm.
Did they?
I mean, for the most part, we did have a lot of Cesaro and Shinsuke shenanigans.
Shinsuke shenanigans. Say that 3 times fast.
No.
No. But, it was your typical literally 3-on-1 match.
Well, 3-2.
Oh, yeah. Gulak was there. I forgot. I forgot about Drew. How can you forget about Drew Gulak? He's such a superstar.
But, he's made a good foil for Brian, admittedly.
Yeah, and the two of them looking like they could be fraternal twin brothers at the moment.
Yeah, I think they work good together.
There's definitely a chemistry there between these two. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with this partnership. Not exactly the tag team, but you know that there will be tag team matches. There have been. There will be more. But yeah, no, they work very well together. It's almost like they had similar training.
Hmm.
Almost. Similar, if not the same type of background.
Hmm.
Yeah. But hey, you know what? This was for the Intercontinental title, and the Intercontinental title did not change hands. Sami retained. How'd that happen, Keish?
Interference, I believe.
Were we expecting
kind of, but not really.
Yeah.
A little bit of distraction goes a long way when Cesaro and Shinsuke beat up Drew and distract Brian, as people are known to get distracted quite easily in the WWE.
Well, that's what Lance Storm taught you.
Wait, Lance Storm? What? I didn't go to Lance Storm school.
I know. I was being a smartass. Never mind. It's an inside joke. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I liked Sammy's constant annoying chatter throughout the match. I thought that was a good way to, I don't know. I like it when people are beaking through the matches. It's a nice little extra touch. And it's something that you don't get to hear very often. So,
yeah, that brings up a really, really good point, Omega. We see these guys yapping at each other in the ring, but we can't hear it over the crowd noise and the announcers. This time out, we were able to hear the wrestlers trash talking each other, which is kind of that's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's an interesting side effect of how they have to tape now.
Yeah,
and Sometimes it's a little odd. Sometimes, you know, it actually does work to the benefit. Hearing just all the trash talk is amusing as hell. Like, I do ultimately like hearing that a lot.
Yeah.
It can get entertaining.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and especially when you get the right guys doing it.
Yep.
I mean, Baron Corbin had a couple of good instances, but I mean, compared to guys like Sammy, Kevin,
Undertaker.
Undertaker was great, but like,
we'll get there.
Yeah. But no, like, I mean, there were some people who were really, really good at that in-ring chatter.
Yeah.
There were some people who kind of just
try too hard.
Were okay, and then there were some people who kind of didn't really say anything, which was interesting.
And while there are a couple of matches over the weekend, Omega, I observed, where trash talking didn't really happen as much as it should have, and then a couple of matches where there was practically no talking, and that was perfect for that match.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Natty wrestled tonight against Liv Morgan, and Rock made the observation. I guess he's not here to back it up, but he made the observation. I agreed with him that Natty should have done a lot more trash talking. She's not really good at trash talking, but then again, I pointed out to him she is a member of the Hart Dynasty.
Agreed.
The Hart family, yeah, they're iconic here in Calgary, but they're not, you know, they're not known for trash talk.
The Dungeon didn't teach trash talk.
No, it taught strong style wrestling. So.
Yep.
But sometimes it'll take you out of the match. Sometimes it'll pull you deeper into the match, depending. And that's either too much or not enough trash talking. You know, so it works both ways depending on the situation. But I didn't really feel a lot of heat between Liv Morgan and Natty to begin with.
Well, no, they didn't. There wasn't really much to build for it. I think if there was more of a reason for them to wrestle, it probably would have been better.
Yeah.
But I mean, the match itself overall was pretty good. I mean, Natty in the ring is usually always good, which is why Natty does what Natty does.
Well, she's absolutely grounded in the lessons learned from being in the Dungeon.
Yeah.
And you can always tell a product of the Dungeon because they when was the last time you ever saw anybody who was trained in the Dungeon miss a spot?
That's true.
Or screw up a spot. Just as an aside, when Stu was training wrestlers, if they screwed up a spot, he went ballistic on them. And there are, I think, two recorded instances of Stampede Wrestling where he was absolutely livid because his own kids messed up a move. It was hilarious. It just funny on a different level or anything. But as far as that goes, like back into the main thing. Now, that was the opening match for tonight. Last night, the pre-show kickoff, Cesaro and Drew Gulak.
I thought I enjoyed this match too. I mean, at least there was a bit of a backstory there with the Brian and Sammy thing. I mean, Cesaro is always impressive in the ring, and Gulak did just as good of a job kind of doing what they did. I enjoyed that match quite a bit. I kind of anticipated that match was going to be good when I found out that it was happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, Cesaro pulling off the win, but with Drew Gulak's technical abilities and Cesaro's technical abilities combined with his slightly more theatrical abilities, Omega, if you gave these guys an extra 5 minutes, could you have fit them on the main card?
I mean, considering what we got on the main card this year, yeah, like absolutely.
Yeah. And if there was actually, and this is one of those ones with little to no buildup, right? On its own, I mean, like as two factions against each other, sure, there's a bit of associated buildup. to it, but no real heat between these two as singles competitors. Could you see I don't know about you. I could see a good program develop between these two, and they would give us a really entertaining series of matches. Do you think?
Well, absolutely.
No,
you just outlined it. You know, they are both very good technical wrestlers, and
mm-hmm.
we've seen what Cesaro can do against opponents that can, you know, run that way with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's teaming with him right now.
So, but I'm hoping that we see some development with these two guys scoring off against each other. That'd be a lot of fun. But well, of course, Cesaro getting win. No surprise to me there, just because of the way it ties into the main feud. So, but anything to add about the pre-show from last night?
No, not really. Yeah.
Pretty good. Cash?
No, match was good. But yeah, not a whole lot else pre-show wise. Everything they kind of did on the pre-show, they replayed all of the packages before the matches. So.
Mm-hmm. Well. Now, the match that I want to talk about next, I enjoyed it mainly because of the two competitors in the ring. It's Seth Rollins taking on Kevin Owens, Omega. Go.
I mean, in this really weird circumstance of, I actually liked how things boiled down to one-on-one, where we didn't have to worry about shenanigans in this match.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, injury and illness, so I wish it was for better reasons, but I am glad that this was a pure match between the two.
Yep.
And, yeah, this was about what I was hoping for.
Very
Seth Rollins coming in like he's Jesus.
Yeah, the Monday night. Kevin Owens, no, you're not. We're not having any of that shit. Fuck that. Kevin Owens jumping off the WrestleMania sign. I don't know if you heard the story. He snuck to where it was initially going to be. I can't remember the name of it, but in Orlando. They actually had the pirate ship set up, and he was saying as soon as he saw that pirate ship, he didn't know how. He didn't know when in the match, but he was looking for a way to find somewhere on that ship to jump off. His plan was to jump off the ship.
Yeah, that's the fire ship they have for the Tampa Arena.
Yeah.
Since it's the Buccaneers.
The Bucs, yeah. And he says as soon as he saw that, you know, he says, I'm jumping off that thing. That would have been fun. So that's why he jumped off the WrestleMania sign. Not quite as high, but still effective, Casey.
Oh, yeah. That thing was awesome. As soon as I saw him kind of walk into the back, I knew it was happening. And boy, did they not disappoint with that? And I mean, he had to kind of not just fall. He kind of had to take a bit of a step and throw himself kind of toward Seth. So big kudos to Kevin Owens for hitting that landing properly.
Yeah. So good. Yeah.
This match was good. I was very entertained. I think they did exactly what they needed to do. And it'll be interesting to see how each guy goes forward after this.
Well, give me your quick opinions, both you guys, on the fake finish to the match, and just to elaborate and remind our listeners, Seth Rollins winds up, getting himself DQ'd or whatever and letting Kevin have the win. Kevin says, no. Let's do this DQ. Get your ass back in here.
I'm glad they didn't go with the DQ.
I mean, well, yeah, because it's Mania. You don't want matches like that to end on a DQ.
Yep.
But, you know, it sets up the spot where he gets to jump off the sign. It also feels like the part where Buddy Murphy was supposed to come in and jump him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like I like how it does play Seth up as, you know, the self-righteous heel who goes on and on and on about how good they are, but will still take cheap ways of getting out of a match.
Yep.
And then try to convince you that, like, no, that's why I am good.
No. Yep. So, yeah, no, entertaining. Kevin Owens gets the victory. So finally, Kevin Owens gets over Seth. And, of course, the whole build up right up to that win planned out that way. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it, personally.
Oh, solid match.
Yeah, so let's move on and talk about the match nobody cared about. I'm going to see if Casey knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll give you a hint.
The
it
match
happened
nobody
last
cared
night.
About on the first night, right?
Yeah, I'll give you a hint. Yes. I'll give you a hint. It happened last night. Which match?
Yes. That would be our Royal King of the Ring, Baron Corbin, versus Elias.
There you go. Elias Winston. Nobody cared.
I almost forgot. But then I remembered that I mentioned Baron Corbin earlier, so.
There you go, because you didn't forget, because you remembered.
Yes.
How's that for Mike Brady, Mike Brady logic?
Tim, with the timely references.
Well, that, you know, like from the Brady Bunch, the movie, Mike Brady actually doing the circular go nowhere bits of advice. not enough to get me invested in this. And of course, I'm not a Baron Corbin fan. His WWE incarnation when he's on the indies, totally different story. When he's allowed to be himself, totally different story. But the WWE incarnation, snooze fest. So I don't really care one way or the other. Yay, Elias wins. So let's write a ballad about it and sing about it Monday night, right, Omega?
Essentially, like, I hate how much they've dropped the ball with Elias.
No.
They can't decide if they want him to be heel or face. They know they've got a talent with him, but they don't let that talent do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just getting disheartening at this point.
It is. I mean, in my opinion, Casey, Elias has built himself up enough that he deserves to have some kind of a mid-card push, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I agree, but I mean, like Omega said, they gotta figure out what side of where he stands before they can do that. He's a bit too wishy-washy, but eventually, once they figure that out, absolutely a push for him, heel or face, would definitely work.
Mm-hmm.
And I will give Baron Corbin props for yelling at the announce team during his match, saying they better be saying good things about him.
Yep.
that was good. I enjoyed that line. Aside from that, I mean, it was there.
Well, as a wrestler, you know perfectly well, as you know, better than some people, that you've got to have some kind of interaction with somebody. Johnny Devine likes to, when he has interaction with somebody in the audience, he zooms into one person the entire time he's out there, and he plays up to that one person to the amusement of everybody else in the crowd.
Oh yeah. Johnny Devine is great at crowd interaction for sure.
He's done good. You're good at overselling the injury or the pain of the move. And you get a reaction from the kids in the front row, which I love.
And I got to do it so the people in the back can see.
Yeah, so it's a little bit larger than life and a little bit overblown. But Omega, if I can dig up some video of what I'm talking about with Casey, I'll send it to you, because you'll get a kick out of how he sells.
Okay, I cannot wait to see him in pain.
Yep. Well, you'll enjoy it, because I love watching Casey writhe in agony. Okay, we're going off on a different topic. Never mind. But,
hey, at least somebody likes something about me. I mean, sure, it's when I get my ass kicked, but it's still something.
Well, everyone has a calling.
There you go. It's like, did Casey get his ass kicked tonight? I don't know. Did he wrestle? Yep. There's your answer. I mean, didn't you win a match where you actually like were surprised as hell that you won?
I'm always surprised when I win.
There you go. What do you mean I won? What? Huh? Oh, okay.
The Barry Horowitz reaction.
There you are. But yeah, you dig the interaction with the crowd, Omega?
I mean, yeah, I do.
No.
I mean, in this instance, I was one of those wondering, like, when they're only allowed so many people in the arena, why would you waste two spots with the announce team? You could do that remotely, or you could do that in post.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get occasionally like, okay, they're actually playing with the announce team and all that, and you know that explains why they're doing this table bump, because the table wouldn't be there if they weren't there. So okay, you're justifying it at least. You're doing something with it. Okay.
Well, what was the name of the movie that Kane was in? See No Evil?
Yeah.
Okay. What day did that come out?
May 19th.
There you go. That is a date that is forever etched in everybody's memory. And when that came out, I remember doing the play-by-play commentary for Stampede Wrestling for their DVDs. And, what the hell is his name? I'm forgetting his name, not his real name, but his Ravenous Randy Myers. You've heard that name before, Omega.
Pizza.
Yep. Casey, you weren't around for this when this happened, and I don't think, Omega, you've ever heard this story, but right when See No Evil was coming out, we did a Stampede Wrestling show, and we were doing the play-by-play live, me and I think it was Jeff Jackson doing the play-by-play commentary. And on a hunch, I don't know why I did this, but I just had the feeling, do it. So I set up a third microphone headset at the announce table and put it out there. And sure enough, halfway through Ravenous Randy Myers' match with whoever it was he was fighting, I don't know, he throws him out of the ring towards the announce table specifically so he could come over and pick up the microphone headset. And he yelled into the microphone, and he looked at me. He said, "Shut up for a second. I got something to say. I'm about to show you why May 19th is the best date this month." And starts wailing on him like Kane. and I kept that in the play-by-play on the DVD because that was just wonderful, and it played so well. It was so much fun, and it's just when a wrestler interacts with the crowd, it can be a very memorable thing, and Baron didn't have the crowd to interact with, so him going up to the announce table, that was good.
Yeah,
that was excellent. And so, you know, you pointing it out, thanks for doing that, for pointing it out. We spent way more time on this match than I ever thought we could.
To be fair, we're talking really about talking Randy about Myers as match. Much as we're talking about Corbin.
Truth. So, but moving on, the women's tag team title match. WWE Women's Tag Team Titles match. Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss taking on the champions, Asuka and Kairi Sane. The thing that I've really been digging about Alexa Bliss in any match that she's had with Asuka is her sass and her smartassness and her mocking and making fun of Asuka. And Asuka just being so absolutely deadpan serious the entire time it happened. That's been very entertaining.
I had a weird moment.
Go ahead.
I had a weird moment in this match where it was Kairi. Yep. Kairi, Tim.
Yeah, I know. I keep calling her Kairi.
It was Kairi Sane in there with Alexa, and she's. Mm-hmm. While Alexa's on the mat, Kairi starts playing with her bow.
Yep.
And like a minute earlier, they were talking about Asuka and Kairi trash talking. It's like, well, what is she saying? I don't know. It's like she's trash talking something. And then when she's playing with the bow, I'm like, shit, I know what she's saying.
Making fun of the bow?
She went nandekura, which is what is this? Uh-huh. While she's playing with a bow, and she went kawaii ne, which is it's cute. So she's making fun of her wearing a cute bow in a wrestling match.
Yeah. Now I just have to interject here, Omega. How much is it going to for you to find out that you speak more Japanese than Keishi Matsunaga?
I mean, I knew what she said too, but I only picked up kawaii, so.
he knows more Japanese than you do.
Not my fault. I'm third generation Canadian.
By one word, dude.
Yeah, he knows more Japanese than I do.
Well, there's a reason for that.
I'm a dork.
Yeah,
he's a massive New Japan fan.
That's fair.
I mean, there's plenty more reasons besides that.
Well, there's more than that. Yeah, a lot more than that. But I forgot. Keishi's a geek too, so he probably understands all the other stuff that you get into from Japan. But a lot of the New Japan matches that you watch, where do you watch them on?
Usually it is NJPW World.
Okay, so you get a lot of it in Japanese.
Unless it's a big show and they actually bring in Matt Stryker and someone else to do commentary.
And then they do the English. But the more you're immersed in a foreign language, the more you're going to pick up that foreign language. So
yeah. Well, for me, it comes for a lot of the Japanese show, superhero shows I watch, because you only get those subtitled.
Mm-hmm. And when you see the subtitles, well, then you're able to translate and then, oh, I get it now.
Yeah, you can pick it. Well, you basically learn it the same way you do as an infant. You hear the same combination of words and see what, you know, how people are reacting or what it's in reference to often enough.
The association with the word, yeah. Which I think psychologists call that word association. No, that's a totally different thing altogether. But anyway, anytime Alexa Bliss is in the ring, anytime Asuka's in the ring, I'm happy. I was doubly happy to watch this. Having Nikki Cross being as energetic and psyched as she always is, to me, is a bonus. I enjoyed the match completely.
Yes. Yeah. Like, Nikki is such a joy in this, you know, in the empty arena era, which is lacking so much energy.
Yeah. Well, she's got enough energy for two nights.
She's the only one still cheering when Becky Lynch won the titles.
Yeah, so. But, this entire match, I don't know what to say about it other than the tag titles are now in the possession of Nikki and Alexa. I predicted it, so yay for me. I don't know if you guys predicted or not, but.
I hope they do something with those belts from here on out. They've just been asleep at the wheel.
Well, Initially, the tag title holders were supposed to float, and that's extra travel. I get it, sure. But you've only got one set of tag team titles for the women. Showcase the damn thing. Put them on both shows. The two shows are live. You've got one on Monday. You got one on Friday. They don't have to be on Monday and Friday every week.
Nope.
I mean, figure it out, you guys, right? But they haven't, they haven't been doing what they promised to do. So I agree with you. I hope they do some. I don't know, is there a rematch? There's no more rematch clauses, but is there a rematch in the near future with these four?
I don't think so.
No.
I think the Kabuki Warriors are about at their limit. Asuka's being wasted. Kairi's being wasted.
Yeah. Why do I get a feeling that Asuka is going to challenge Charlotte at some point in time. We'll get there because of what happened tonight, but I just wanted to plant that seed.
For what happened, I think no.
Okay, yeah.
I think that's a step backward.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, I think Asuka, you really need to build back up.
Yeah.
Like get her away from Kairi, get her away from the tag team thing, and just let her be dominant again. Let her be Asuka.
Let her make sure nobody's ready for her. Yeah. No, I agree with that. I agree with you on that one. So, moving on from there. Unique situation for the SmackDown Tag Team Titles match. It becomes a triple threat ladder match, and one member of each of the three teams taking on the other two. So it boils down to Kofi Kingston versus Jimmy Uso versus the champion, one half of the champion, John Morrison. Ladder match.
I mean, you put Kofi and John Morrison in a ladder match, and I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they did a lot of real cool stuff for this match, but like not too much.
Well, the Performance Center doesn't really lend itself to an arena venue for some of the stuff that these guys are known to pull off in ladder matches. I think this is my opinion. Am I right? Don't worry, he's not going to clip it.
I don't know. I thought they did just about exactly what they needed to do for that match. They did a lot of interesting stuff. They did a few new things. I really liked the thing at the end with the belts. I thought that was a bit different.
The finish to this was really interesting.
Yeah, I was definitely going to bring that up, and I even have it in my notes. It's a new type finish for a ladder match. And your thoughts and opinions. Let's just talk about what happened. All three of them were holding on to the belts at the same time.
Yeah, because they unhooked the hanger, not the belts.
Exactly. And so they're all three of them holding on to this. And Kofi and Uso basically pushed Morrison off the ladder. And then they look down, and they're looking at the hanger for the belts. And each one of them has a hand wrapped around one part of the hanger, and the hanger's empty. And at one point, we were going to have double tag team champions for a second.
Yeah, I thought they were going to announce, like, you know, your new tag team champions, Jimmy Uso and Kofi Kingston.
Yep.
And that would have been a really weird finish. But what I loved about this finish is, especially the way it was shot.
Yep.
There was a literal moment where I was like, oh, shit, there goes John. It's down to it's going to be Kofi or the Usos.
Yep.
Where are the belts?
Hey.
Oh, wait. Shit.
Look at John. Lying flat out on that ladder that they had bridged. And he's holding both belts.
Well, he actually wasn't. He dragged him down, but he dropped him on the impact, but he did take him down.
So yeah.
That's what they count.
Yeah, and so it was kind of like in football, the last one who touches it before it goes out of bounds has possession. So, and that was Morrison and the belts. But no, figure, okay, it's a ladder match. All right, fine. Somebody's going to finally climb up there, grab him, and yay, you're the champion. It was nice to see that somebody thought up something different.
Yeah.
To do. And it,
there
it
also
just,
weren't
it just
a whole lot of spots of them. I also like that there just weren't a whole lot of spots of them like trying to climb and reach for the belts.
Yeah.
It was nice that they didn't have that it happens so often where everybody takes 600 years to climb a ladder.
Yeah, it's like playing their video games when everybody else is knocked out of the ring and your character is climbing the rope or climbing the ladder and he does the first four rungs at super speed and then all of a sudden he can't climb anymore no matter how hard you mash that A button.
Yeah.
And it's like the more you mash the A button, the slower he goes.
It's See, for that, I kind of... you have to equate it in the game somehow. You have to make it a challenge to get up the ladder, else, you know, it just ends. But it's literally like they get two rungs up the ladder and go, oh, God, heights. Oh, God, heights. Hang on. I have to steal myself.
But, yeah, so Morrison and Miz are still your champions. And as far as ladder matches go, I liked it.
Like,
what's that?
In this match, like, this is the first match where I really think he was, he like really showed that he still has everything he had before. Like walk to the top rope to go into the Spanish Fly.
Okay, whatever you said was really mangled and muffled.
I'm giving credit to John Morrison because he was really impressive in the match.
There you go. I heard that.
Agreed.
Yeah, like walking the top rope.
Yeah.
That tightrope walk. That was awesome. I forgot about that. I mean, that was cool. That was a good spot. That was a very entertaining match. Guys, we've got one more thing to talk about night one before we take our break.
I already feel like I've been talking about this show since the dawn of man.
Yeah, we got to take a break, and then we'll be talking about night two after we take a time out, because it's time to take the pause that refreshes. Shall we talk about the best movie WWE Studios has put out in a long time? That's my impression. Okay, that's all I'm going to tell you right now. I mean, it's like Sons of Anarchy meets WWE.
Yeah, that thing was amazing.
Go for it, Casey. Talk about it.
I mean, I don't know. It's start to finish, I think it was awesome. Great visuals between, I mean, good, just everything. I thought everything about that Boneyard match was awesome. There was like the chatter back and forth between those two guys in between beating the crap out of each other was good.
We talked about trash talking, and this was trash talking 101.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's the way he kept calling Styles boy.
Yeah. Where are you going, boy?
Yeah,
you
it was very boy. that was very much American Badass Taker. With a
well,
little
I mean,
bit
he
of
came in on a, OG he came in there. On a bike with a do-rag playing Metallica.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I mean I think they made the right choice there, because if it was OG Undertaker, I don't think it would have been as good. So I thought they made the right call going.
Well, apparently that was Mark's call.
Well, I mean, well, that makes sense. The dude knows what he's doing.
He wanted to go back to the American Badass because that was his favorite incarnation of the character.
And his promo beforehand, I mean, you know, that foreshadowed it coming, but it was the right choice. He was able to kind of trash talk the way that he should have trash talked, the way AJ Styles called him out. AJ Styles did a pretty good job giving it back. Yeah, I mean, the location was done up nice. They used every inch of that place to its potential. Yeah.
Omega, did you pop like I popped when you realized it was actually the American Badass?
Well, considering how personal this has gotten, I kind of feel like this was how it had to happen.
Yeah. What's my wife's name? Say your name.
Yeah, because he came out in more street clothes for like this contract signing. You know,
yeah.
You know, they were getting personal with each other. You know, mentioning real names and all that. Yeah, this was perfect. Like, it's the right time to bring back the American Badass,
mm-hmm.
just because The interesting Undertaker today is the man behind the dead man, the Phenom.
Yeah.
You know, and we've seen, like, there's a whole series on WWE that's going to be just that.
Yep.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I feel like classic Undertaker is always going to be awesome, but it's definitely a product of its time. Like, and I don't mind seeing it be put away.
Yeah, when he finally comes out to his final match of his career, which could be like next year, or it could be another 5 years. If they keep doing this type of thing for Undertaker matches, he could go for another 5-10 years easy.
I mean, this is how they could have the Sting match.
Yep. A lot of people have been talking about that.
Honestly, I feel like this is what they had to do from the beginning. Like, you know, this is very Final Deletion.
Yeah.
You know, I will give Matt Hardy credit for, like, pioneering the cinematic wrestling match.
A few people have mentioned that he should get some royalties for that, for last night.
Well, Stephanie was on Twitter going, oh, that's the way we innovate. It's like, bitch.
That's the way you steal shit. What are you talking about?
You're a tweet.
Well, I mean, is it stealing if they have one of the guys who helped put together the Final Deletion on the payroll?
That's what I'm saying. I hope Jeremy Borash produced this.
It's appropriation.
He had to have. Yeah,
it's appropriation when the Final Deletion didn't originate in their company.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody and their dog knows that this has got Matt Hardy's fingers all over it. You saw it all over social media. Everybody talking about it. And I mean, he acknowledged it too. And I think he did. I think he did in the best way possible, just being like, hey, it's good to see that, you know, something I created will be forever in the ether for wrestling, which it is. And obviously, like, that plainly showed that it did. And I mean, I think we're all the better for it. So we can talk all the trash we want about WWE stole it, but at the same time, if they didn't, that could have gone south so quick. Instead, we got this phenomenal thing that we got. So, I mean, I'm not mad about it, mostly because I know where it came from, and we're all smart enough to know that.
Yep.
Honestly, since they started doing the empty arena shows, I feel like this is what they should be doing. Like, do some cinematic angles, do some post-production, put some background music in so it's not just dead silence during the match. You know, as long as you have this environment where you can do things like that and pre-tape the matches and, you know, not have to worry about what the crowd sees, play with it. Do things like this. You know, make it interesting to watch. It doesn't have to be like super, it doesn't have to be super campy like this was. But just, it would, you show that you can do it, and this would make it so much more interesting to watch right now.
Yeah. Well, it was extremely entertaining. Everybody was popping, and let's face it, it's one of the best things that WWE has actually done in a long time.
Yeah.
It really has.
Agreed.
What?
100%.
So, what are the favorite moments? Because there's some moments in this.
Oh, one favorite moment of mine is AJ's just about to dump the dirt and the lights come on behind him and there's Undertaker.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He starts getting supernatural.
Yep. Touch of the supernatural.
It was just the right amount, though. Like, we still got American Badass Undertaker, but it's still a callback to, hey, I'm still the dead man. I'm just the dead man who's going to talk shit to you while I'm kicking the crap out of you the whole time.
Dead man that's part of the Sons of Anarchy, yeah.
Also, Rip Carl Anderson, who took a tombstone on a steel roof.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't know who's going to have a bigger dent, that steel roofer's head.
Well, speaking of that, like, the moment this just became, like, before it was just like, this is a cinematic wrestling, this is a cinematic fight in a graveyard.
Yep.
The moment where I just went, oh, this is going to be amazing, was Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows calling out the dead man for the first time. And they're standing in front of this barn.
No.
And when the Taker turns, all the lights in the world come on inside this barn. And the walls fall forward, and there's just an army of druids.
Well, we're going to do this. Let's do it.
Like, they've been waiting, they've just been waiting there the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, no. The whole thing was absolutely priceless. And I'm just glad that I got home this afternoon in time to watch it all over again. Because it's just like, yeah. So.
The hand.
Yeah.
That's just like the final touch, isn't it? It's like we were just having as much fun with this as we could.
Yeah.
Like the ultimate like cheesy horror movie shot of just like the hand sticking out of the grave.
But yeah, no, thoroughly enjoyable. Guys, we need to take a timeout. We've been at this for almost 2 hours now. So what we're going to do, everybody, is take our first, last, and only timeout of the night. And then we're going to go through night two of Mania. Because that was only night one, Omega.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Well, night two is going to be a lot quicker. Don't worry about it, everybody. Hey, you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night, right here and live on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streamed simulcast on, let's see, the Twitch. There's also TuneIn, and if you want to catch any of the archives, we are now on Spotify. That being said, go get yourself a cold one. If you got to use the facilities, get yourself a snack. We'll be back in just a little bit to look at night two, WrestleMania 36. When will I know that I really can go to the well one small time to decide on? When it's killing me, when will I really see all that I need to look inside? Come to believe that I better not leave before I get my chance to ride. When it's killing me, what do I really need? Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axelmania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig.
I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. 8 fucking lanes. 8 motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of the Supreme Retired. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on kicking. fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway. All right, if this place is closed, I'm going to kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I got to run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 in my fucking name, so I'm going to have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's some biz. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. It is. All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to cloud by fucking 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live... midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, cash money, heroes, private jets, polish.
And welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Welcome to hour number 2 of the webcast. It's a little longer than normal, mainly because, you know, well, WrestleMania tends to do that. It happens. So before the break, we talked about night 1. Very entertaining Saturday, and I didn't feel burned out at all.
Nope.
I'm going to feel burned up by the time we're done tonight, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we still have a lot of matches to talk about. But here's the thing. We already talked about the kickoff match, Liv Morgan and Natalya. So that's taken care of. We had a few more matches here on this one that we don't need to spend any much time on there. We talked about Drew McIntyre versus Brock Lesnar. We touched on that. Let's start off just getting into this match. First off, new WWE champion Drew McIntyre. The match, Omega?
What match?
Yeah, exactly.
It was finisher spam and like one German suplex in the mix.
Yep.
You know, and the one who put on the most performance in this match was Brock Lesnar, or Paul Heyman.
Paul, yeah.
Yeah.
And I said it in chat. I love Paul Heyman. He made the match entertaining. In my opinion, the outcome was a foregone conclusion. It was just how are you going to get there and how quickly were you going to get there, Casey?
Yep. I mean, I'll also give props to the ref. He did a lot of work, too.
Can never forget the ref.
Well, I mean, we're supposed to forget the ref. Otherwise, he's not doing his job properly, right?
Sounds like a hockey game. Anyway.
But yeah, no, the match was kind of everything I expected it to be. There isn't much more to say about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a repeat of the match we had last night. And it's technically also a repeat of Brock's last WrestleMania match.
Yeah. So, there it is. Your new champion, Drew McIntyre, the chosen one, finally climbed that mountain. And there were no air guitars to be seen. Wait for it. Yeah. There it is.
Heath, you slacker. You're the only one left.
There you go. He's got five kids to feed. Wasn't that his line? Five kids?
No, he just had,
I think it was just kids.
It's just, I got kids.
Okay, I got kids to feed. How many? Five? Oh, five kids. That's from the original Total Recall. The tax capture. I got five kids to feed. I got four kids to feed. What happened to the fifth one? Oh, shit, you got me. I ain't got no kids. After all that. Okay. Fair enough. But this one, here's a match up next that I'm angry about. Charlotte Flair taking on Rhea Ripley for the NXT Women's title match. I'm paying attention to Twitter while the match is going on. And Rhea Ripley apparently does not have as many fans as Charlotte Omega.
I mean, Charlotte's been around a lot longer. You know, she has the pedigree of being Flair's daughter. Rhea is still on the rise and still in general sense, relatively new to NXT, which, you know, until a few months ago was online only.
Yeah.
So that's just to be expected.
Uh-huh.
You know, if they are ignorant of how great Rhea Ripley is, that is their fault.
This is true. Now, the reason why I'm angry is, and I'm going to get backlash for saying this, but I'm sick and tired
backlash
of Charlotte.
Backlash isn't on anymore.
Yeah, you know what I mean. I don't mean the pay-per-view, but I'm tired of Charlotte, Casey.
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm tired of Charlotte, but I wouldn't be against not seeing her in the position that she is as often as she's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, not quite as one-sided as far as you're concerned, Tim, but I do agree that I was kind of disappointed with the outcome of this one.
Yeah. Omega?
I was disappointed too. Like, I felt like this was such a good opportunity to really highlight and give credit to NXT. Get people paying attention, go, oh, well, their champions can beat, you know, people like Charlotte Flair. Like, okay, yep. Maybe I've been missing something.
Yeah.
I feel like this was just a perfect opportunity to build, to make a star wasted to just give Charlotte Flair yet another little token, which she's already gotten so many of.
Yeah. Well, you guys remember what I said last Sunday night when we previewed WrestleMania? What I said about this match?
I don't.
Look, I had to watch the Firefly Funhouse match. I can't remember anything.
All right. I'll refresh your memory. It basically, what you said about this. This has the opportunity to launch NXT into the stratosphere, especially if Rhea retains over Charlotte. And in my opinion, you know, just about any other time, okay, Charlotte wins, whatever, big deal, yoo-hoo. In my opinion, on this match, they dropped the ball. They didn't look at the forest, and they only saw the trees.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking at bigger picture here, you say you're sick of Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair, because of this win, is probably going to spend some time in NXT building up their star power. giving their women's division and thus their TV show some more attention, some more star power, and building up competition there. So maybe the long run wasn't, oh, well, you know, maybe that's how you get there in the long run.
They're doing it a completely different way than I would have.
I mean, in the meantime, but here's your problem. Your problem is still that you're tired of Charlotte Flair. Charlotte's moving on to a different show with a whole new crop of competitors she's never fought before.
you're absolutely correct with this one, and I'm not going to dispute it. I just think that it would have been a more immediate impact if, you know, Rhea had retained. What they're doing is the long view. I'll admit to that right now, but you know, if she runs through the entire women's division in NXT, she's going to make them all look like chumps.
If she does. We have no proof that that's what's going to happen.
That could be a very big if, yes. However, it's still that possibility. The saving grace, as far as I'm concerned, is it's NXT is Triple H's show. And he has proven that he's a freaking genius when it comes to this stuff.
Yep, there's a good chance that they could have it set up where she's going to go down there expecting to run roughshod over the division and have her eyes open by the women in NXT giving her like good solid fights, which would be really nice for NXT. And I kind of hope that's the way that they go with it now that this is kind of what happened.
I have to admit that one match I would be looking forward to would be Charlotte versus Io Shirai.
That would be good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be like, we get exhausted with seeing Charlotte Flair as the top woman in the company, but at the same time, she does have that for a reason. She is exceptionally talented in the ring. And like I said, like there's just this huge crop of women in NXT that she's never faced, which means we have a lot of opportunity to see new things out of her.
This is true.
I mean, they could tie back into the whole, like, Bianca Belair getting involved. Now that Charlotte has the championship, she could roll up on Charlotte.
I mean, after tonight, we might have different things in store for Bianca.
That's true, too.
We haven't gotten there yet.
No. Only time will tell. We'll find out Wednesday.
Yeah. Wednesday, when the next edition of NXT airs live on the network it airs on.
The show is not live. It is just...
I know. Shh. That's why I was chuckling. So there you go. Charlotte, the new NXT Women's Championship. When it comes to Rhea Ripley, you see her, you understand she's a big girl, but you don't realize how big she is until she gets into the ring with somebody like Charlotte. Her size is impressive.
Yes.
I will admit that. And I expect down the road these two will wind up giving us another really entertaining, interesting match, probably at the you know, the next takeover that they have, possibly. Mm-hmm. So even though there are no guaranteed rematch clauses. Yeah, I get it. Anyway, up next, fatal five-way elimination match for the SmackDown Women's title. Bayley defending against Lacey, Sasha, Naomi, and Tamina. One thing that I noticed is they got Tamina out of there as the first one. And that was no surprise to me at all whatsoever. I'm not trying to take a pot shot at Tamina or anything like that, but come on, Omega.
I mean, I thought she had a great advantage in this match because she's used to getting that crowd reaction.
Ooh, I was waiting for that.
But no, like from a work point standpoint, It you know, you expected her to go out first because she's a lot more limited in the ring. You know, we know that her knees are shot, so she can't perform that long in the first place. So no surprise she got taken out pretty quick.
Yeah, well, and from a logic standpoint, it makes sense for everybody to knock out the bigger, stronger opponent so they have a better chance of winning.
So But we talked about it while the match was going on. I think I said watch it come down to Sasha versus Bayley. They didn't pull that trigger, Omega.
No, they sowed the seeds, though.
They did. They did. just the reaction at the end of the match. We'll get there. And let Keishi give his take first. But balls down. They get rid of Naomi and they get rid of Sasha. They get rid of Sasha after Tamina.
They get rid of Sasha with interesting little caveats.
Yeah.
Because Bayley accidentally hits Sasha. Sasha gets back in the ring, starts to make something of it. Bayley's trying to make peace.
We'll talk about it later. Yeah.
Yeah. Lacey tries to jump in the middle of this and attack. Bayley pushes Sasha out of the way, but then in avoiding Lacey, pushes Lacey into Sasha. She catches a woman's right. 1, 2, 3. And Bayley's in no hurry to go help her friend when that happens.
She's just kind of sort of hanging, leaning on the ropes, watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. She kind of let it happen.
And that's where the seeds basically took root. They were sown with the accidental hit.
Yep.
But to me, that's where those seeds took actual root. so down to the final three, it's Lacey versus Naomi versus Bayley.
No, Naomi got knocked out beforehand.
Oh yeah, no, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because Naomi got knocked out, and Sasha and Bayley were all smug about being able to go 2-on-1 basically against Lacey, and
yeah,
then it ended up working in their favor.
Thanks for correcting me. That's right. I was slightly incorrect on that one. I don't know how I made that mistake, but balls down.
There are a lot of people in the match.
Yeah, Lacey versus Sasha. I'm waiting for it. I did that on purpose. You're not even gonna. Okay, yeah, Lacey versus Bayley.
Yeah,
and yeah, I'm kind of surprised that it was that it wound up being these two. Not that it was Bayley, but that it was Lacey. I just get the feeling that they're still trying to push Lacey. In my opinion, before she's ready for that push,
they've been trying to make a big deal out of her ever since she debuted.
Yep,
and she's getting better, but she just does not have enough credibility.
Not just yet. I don't think that she's been built up enough. It's like Omega said, Keishi, they've been pushing her since she debuted with a lack of buildup. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, yeah, they kind of got her going. Before the wheels touched the road, or I guess maybe pushed her out of the car while the car was still going 50 miles an hour. So she doesn't really get a chance to get her footing. But I mean, there's potential there. I thought she did a pretty good job tonight. But yeah, still a little bit of work to do. I'm hoping that it was just kind of like a way to draw out, the Bayley Sasha feud, to have it maybe get started on Friday and get it going. But
maybe too soon. I think that you want to hold off a little bit, let it fester a little longer. Pull the trigger at Mania or at SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's also a possibility. It just depends on what they do with Bayley on Friday then, and who they like, who they're going to throw at Bayley in the meantime, because I think she's kind of gone through everybody on the SmackDown roster, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, got there's it. Not a whole lot left. Like,
unless they bring someone over from NXT or Raw, or maybe someone who's injured that we're not thinking about.
Ronda. I mean, Ronda. I'll say Ronda's one, but she's going to go straight after Becky.
Oh yeah, no. If Ronda comes back anytime soon, it's going to be Ronda Becky.
No. The one wild card in the division right now is Nia Jax.
Yeah.
Because she's cleared. She's medically ready to come back. They just haven't put her in anywhere. So I will say, like, plan A for the WrestleMania match was not the six-pack challenge, which was plan B. And what we watched tonight was plan C.
Yeah.
Plan A was Sasha versus Bayley, and we were supposed to have a face turn for Sasha by now.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to Sasha and Bayley, WWE seems to get cold feet right almost at the time they're ready to do what they've been planning to do. That's the way it seems to me. What do you think?
I think half the time it's because Sasha is either mysteriously absent / covering the country that they don't talk about.
No.
The last year, Sasha has been fairly injured.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I was just about to let you know we're losing you again on your mic there, Omega.
I can't do anything about it.
I'm sorry. But, yeah, so anyway, Bayley retains nothing spectacular with the win. Was there really? Really? Why didn't Sasha go into the back room, KC?
Well, because she was waiting to help out Bayley.
And she did with the with the backstabber.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. And how did she get away with it? Well, no DQ.
No DQ.
Absolutely.
And
so
then Bayley hit her new finisher. They still don't have a name for
the Bayley finisher.
The let me speak to your manager.
the let me speak to you. No,
the Karen.
Just call it the Karen.
The thing Dean Ambrose used to do, but with a leg trap, or the arm trap that does nothing.
There you go, yeah. So, yeah, Bayley retains thanks to her buddy Sasha, and that's going to blow up eventually. So, now we've got a bunch of matches that we can just fly through really quickly because they don't really mean a hell of a lot. The Raw Tag Team Titles match, Angel Garza teaming up with Austin Theory to take on the Street Profits. Omega?
I was kind of wondering why this match went through so many revisions and so much chaos, but they still really wanted to get this match on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And after the victory, we found out why.
Yes.
Because someone got called up.
Now, I have to admit that I missed the end of this match, so I know that the Profits retained, but who got called up? What? Huh?
So after the match and the Profits retained, Theory and Angel Garza attacked the Profits, and then they held not Montez Ford. Angelo Dawkins. No. Wait, do I have that backwards?
Angelo Dawkins. Which one are you talking
about? No. They beat up the Profits, and then they held up Montez Ford for Zelina Vega to take a shot. And then, coincidentally, out came Bianca Belair for the save.
Has nothing to do with the fact that she's married to Montez Ford.
I mean, based on how Montez Ford was reacting to it, I think the cat's out of the bag.
Well, they said it on the announce table. It's like,
yeah.
So the fact that the announce table let the cat out of the bag is the reason why the cat's out of the bag.
Correct.
There you go.
I mean, his over the top like cartoon dog tongue like 6 feet on the ground reaction to her when she was in the ring. Probably helped a little bit too. Yeah.
You could see the tongue unraveling like a fruit by the foot too.
Yeah, and his heart was literally popping out of his chest.
There you go.
Which hey, entertaining.
Yeah,
entertaining can be good. Yep.
Yes, I'm hoping they do something. I hope that like becomes like an actual trio.
Absolutely.
That would be good. So from what I was able to see of this match, it was okay. Nothing to write home about. It did the job and the Profits were able to keep the titles.
Yeah. I mean, it's solid enough considering how many revisions that they went through and, Austin Theory was a last second addition to the match.
He was the last second addition, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah, what this does is give me points on fantasy because the Street Profits retained and they're my boys. So, next up, Bobby Lashley versus Aleister Black. Aleister Black gets the win thanks to Lana calling a different move, mid-move, and screwing up Lashley's momentum. Love it. That was the best part of the match for me, Casey.
Yeah, that was something. Although I will forever be impressed with how consistently Aleister Black can land that kick. No, like, I don't, yeah. He just right in the right spot every single time, no matter what's happening. That it's yeah. So impressive.
Yeah, his opponent could be charging him. His opponent could be standing up or ducking. And like, I don't know how you have that much precision on a roundhouse kick.
And timing. The timing and precision on something like that is, like, that's phenomenal. And it, like, it backs up why it's his finisher, because no matter what, no matter where he is, he hits that thing in the perfect spot when he does it.
The only thing that I hated about this match in its entirety was the replay. They should not have used the camera angle they did, because they exposed the kick. To me, they exposed the kick. You guys may not have caught it. I don't know. If you did, chime in. But he gets that leg completely extended, and then just at the very last second, he barely touches his opponent on the cheek with the ball of his foot. Did you catch that?
I did not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the contact was theirs, but like, if you think about it, any other person that I've seen who would have done a kick like that, and that includes like just regular super kicks. When you show a slow motion replay like that, there's like a way higher factor of them not even having contact. Whereas Aleister Black, even if he like he touches him in the face every single time, it's not like, oh, the guy took one step too far and I caught him in the face with my ankle. It's every time he gets him in the face with his foot. So yeah, even though it was a little exposed, I'm still impressed with his precision.
Yeah, that could just be me. I mean, like with our background, Casey, right?
Yeah.
I sometimes get nitpicky. Omega will attest to that. Sometimes I get nitpicky on things that I think get exposed. And it turns out I'm the only one who catches it. But I can equate Aleister's kick to Johnny Devine's slaps. Both of them touch you, but you don't feel either one of them. And both of them let their opponent make the sell.
Yep.
You get it?
Oh, as someone who has been struck by Johnny Devine.
Yep.
On a few occasions, I fully agree with you 100%.
Yeah, and like he demonstrated that to me just goofing around after a show one night, Omega. Something was supposed to happen that didn't happen, and apparently he was blaming me for it. So he was in-ring slapping me. And it was a grand total of three slaps. And like the first time I flinched after he touched my cheek, and it was like a fly landed on my face. But he did the old wrestler clap the shoulder, right? So it sounded like he actually got me. But like the first time he did it, I jolted because I wasn't expecting it. It's kind of funny, but anyway, that's just, you know, whatever. So, I'm happy Aleister won because I like Aleister, and I'm over Bobby Lashley just like I am. I'm over Charlotte. Really, I am.
I'm more over Bobby Lashley than I am Charlotte.
No.
Yeah, well, Charlotte has a personality to her. It's just the same one she's been running for years.
Yes.
Bobby Lashley's personality is I am one. That's about it.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, there's that one. The next one we talk about, Otis versus Dolph Ziggler. Minor storyline, kind of cheesy. But
I mean, most built-up storyline.
I would argue best developed storyline going into Mania by far.
Oh, I'm not saying they didn't do a good job with it. I'm not saying that. I mean, a minor storyline can be a really good focus. This was a good focus, and it's like you're saying in your worded argument, it was the best developed storyline of just about almost every other match going on. It was a bit cheesy, is what I'm just commenting. I'm not.
Pro wrestling was cheesy.
Yeah, I know. I'm not taking shots. It's just.
I watched Undertaker in a graveyard fighting off druids like it's a horror movie. Wrestling is cheesy?
Never.
And who left the keys in that tractor?
Whoever left a ton of dirt.
It was the landscaper. He got paid off. No. I'm gonna let me explain myself. I always find the romance angles to be like a little cheesy, and that's just because like chick flick time. This storyline was a chick flick.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I mean, I wouldn't even say chick flick because this is like the feel good storyline.
Well,
for every big kid who ever wanted the pretty girl in high school.
Like, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the storyline, the match. I enjoyed Otis's revenge because I've been hoping ever since he got stood up at the restaurant. I've been, you know, and the whole thing came out. I've been hoping that he'd kick Dolph's ass. And he had that opportunity tonight. And so, no, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the match. I was happy with it and the resolution. Thank you, Mandy.
Thank you, Mandy. I'm really happy. Like, if they were going to split Fire and Desire, I'm really happy they did something that actually
makes sense.
Yeah, because typically it's like if they want to turn one of them heel and split the group, one just sneak attacks the other. And even though they were best friends or whatever before that, the next week they're all ready to kill each other. Like
this made sense.
No, yeah. Like if that's your best friend, you go through a period of hurt before you want to kill them. You know, like when Kane debuted, Undertaker refused to fight him because that's my brother.
Yep.
No matter what he does to me, that's my brother. I'm not going to fight him. And that was believable. And here we have like, no, I'm really into this guy. You intentionally sabotaged it. You know, and
yep, no, they
there's
did,
implications
did.
There, yeah. which is an interesting twist.
Yeah,
like
no,
it, was
yeah.
watching John Hughes films.
Yeah,
yeah, it worked. It really did. So, I don't know if you know where they go from here. I mean, Otis and Dolph, that's over. But we've got Fire versus Desire now, which should be a pretty good feud, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I am looking forward to it.
Oh, do you think this frees up Mandy Rose for the next in line at Bayley now that she's clearly a good guy and now not part of a tag team?
Oh, well.
I mean, it's a way of pushing her and giving her more storyline credibility.
Yeah, she could be the go between before they pull the trigger on Sasha.
Yeah, and if they face turn Sasha, that also gives Sonya someone that she can feud with
for sure.
Oh, all right. So there are two matches left for us to talk about, guys.
Which one do we want to do first?
We're going to do the last man standing match, Edge versus Randy Orton.
Yeah, I don't think we could end on anything else other than the other match we haven't talked about.
Yes. That one. Yeah, absolutely. So last man standing. Oh, I liked it. It was good. Edge still able to sell perfectly. Still 100% believable. Randy Orton gave us exactly the amount of moves that I figured he was going to give us, like he gives us every match.
Yeah, I thought, I mean, I'll give Randy a little bit more credit for his selling tonight.
Yeah.
He did a pretty good job. I'm guessing because it was Edge, I think he put a little more effort in as an overall work tonight than
his former tag team partner and
exactly.
On Edge's return match, you'd want to make him look really good.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he did. I will give Randy that much.
Yeah.
This is the match we played Spot the Gimmick, guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a brand new pro wrestling game.
Yeah. Just to explain to the people in the chat room and the people listening live and in the archive, what I'm talking about is in a match like this, you always have a gimmick off to the side that they do their damnedest to try to hide and not make obvious. And I decided, seeing as this is going to be one of those matches, let's see if we can spot the gimmick. So I introduced this and explained it to Casey. And what was your explanation for it, Omega?
Oh, anytime on any wrestling event where, for whatever reason, there seems to be this box covered in a tarp. Or some very large box-shaped object beside a ramp that's never there usually, but for some reason it's there this week.
Yep.
And once you know it, the night ends with somebody through it. Every time it's there.
And it's like...
So spot so the obvious. Gimmick / Chekhov's box.
Always obvious. After the fact, because you never look for it ahead of time. So I figured, you know what? I'm going to get these guys to look for it ahead of time. And it caught me because it was so obvious, I didn't even spot it initially. Because I'm thinking, as soon as I got around to the pickup truck, I'm thinking, wait, that tailgate's down. What's going on there? You guys started saying, what's up with the forklift? Because they're not allowed to buy, you know, like...
It was raised up with a load on it.
Yeah, but the load was arranged as a set of steps. And there were just these great big container boxes that was on the forklift. And I was convinced for a second... The tonneau cover on the back of the pickup truck bed was gimmicked for just a split second. But when they both fell on top of it and nothing happened, I'm like, nope. And then who was it? Was it Casey or was it you, Omega, who pointed out the trailer, the tractor trailer?
Oh, well, yeah, because they made their way on top of the trailer. And I was thinking... Yep. It's interesting how they found a nice long runway for one who might deliver a spear or attempt to.
Yeah. And sure enough, they climbed the improvised stairway to the top of the trailer. There's your gimmick! But yeah, sometimes I'll do that for matches where they're going to have the finish outside of the ring. I'll look for where the gimmick is and if I can spot it. And sometimes you can. Sometimes it's just so obvious that it's easy to miss. But in this case, it was too obvious not to miss, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was really good back and forth. These guys beating the crap out of each other. Definitely.
They used the set real well.
Yep.
Yeah, it was an interesting tour of the Performance Center.
It really was. And the one thing I got a kick out of, just to take you out of the match for a second, is everybody looking around the corner and then realizing the camera's on them and then ducking around the corner again so they're not on camera. And then when they're coming up to the offices, the guy sitting at the desk, at their desks, they're just sort of like slowly moving over closer to the wall so they're not on camera.
Oh, man, that guy had no idea what he should do.
Yeah.
He's just also, like, you could just see him just slowly, like, he tried to, like, back up out of the shot, and he's like, oh, I can't go back far enough. And then you see him kind of like scooch to the far end of the table, and then just slightly under the camera when it was kind of off shot, you kind of see him like crawl away. It was great.
Yep. And speaking about cameras, kudos.
Yeah. Rip cameraman.
Biggest bump of the night taken by the cameraman in the hallway.
Yeah.
He got killed. Situation like that, did the wrestlers get too close to him, or did he get too close to the wrestlers?
Probably a little bit of both.
I think he ran out of room behind him, to tell you the truth, Omega.
Well, he fell backwards, so he had room.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they probably just came at him a lot faster than he thought they were going to, and he tripped.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, so he goes crashing down, cameras on the floor, Edge and Randy start rolling around the corner. Meanwhile, the camera zoomed in on a can of Red Bull.
and his black sneaker.
Yeah, but I mean, I like that they used the running cameraman twice during this. That was good. It's like, oh no, this guy's down. And it was very much like, we have other cameras set up ready to go, like they do for everything else. It was like, run, get there as fast as you can.
Oh yeah.
And then, of course, with finish, Edge beating Randy. This entire match couldn't come off better for Edge's return.
It was very well done.
Yeah.
What are you enjoying?
I like pulling out the new sleeper hold he has to put Randy down for the concerto.
Yeah. And bang. But the look on Edge's face, it looked like he's almost ready to like be in tears right before he delivers it.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he didn't initially, you know, want to do that to Randy, but Randy kind of backed him into a corner. So,
yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, Edge being who Edge is still like, I mean, yes, I did this and I'm sorry, but it had to be done. Doesn't mean I feel good about it.
Yeah. But overall, the match, could you have hoped for anything better, Omega?
I will agree with the KC's sentiment as it could have been shorter.
You know, a few people are saying it was 5 minutes too long.
Yeah. Well, this match went 36 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were a couple of things that they could have done without, not necessarily on like the back end, but just subtle things throughout the match as a whole. If they made things just a bit shorter or even cut them out, it wouldn't have hurt. I don't think it would have hurt the match at all. So
yeah. I feel like this exposes a little bit of weakness. Like when you have no arena to start cheering on, you know, Edge or, you know, cheering for the heel to be down, that, yeah, like this, it feels like it drags because so much of this match was just waiting for people to stand up from a 10 count with
for
no
that pop. Yeah.
Yeah. With no like tension from the crowd and just like no cheering for anything. Like this would have been fine if it had an audience.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That would have been, it would have just taken it to the next level with the audience. Not that there was anything wrong with the match overall, but an audience for this one would have just, like, it would have been amazing.
Okay, agree or disagree? Audience present, this was match of the night.
Define match.
Fight of the night?
It would definitely be in contention.
Okay.
Yeah, I like honestly, you're like 19. I think you can this because.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't hear any of that.
It was good, Edge being.
It was good, Edge being Edge.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. So, yeah, and here it is. And I hope to God your mic does not cut out for this. because it's the final match of the night. It's the Firefly Funhouse match. John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. Omega called this. What did he call it? I'm looking for it.
So we're comparing it to the Boneyard match.
Yeah. What did you and call I the said, Boneyard match? Was
I said the bone? I said the Boneyard match is taking a wrestling match and making it into a movie. The Firefly Funhouse match is turning a wrestling promo into a movie.
There, that's right.
Yeah.
Because that's essentially what this entire thing was. Just a complete abstract thing. And here it was last night saying, I really hope that this Firefly match can live up to and be like the Boneyard match. And you know, that was kind of like, you know, the motorcycle gang fight with supernatural overtones. Now I want a horror movie. Well, it kind of was sort of a horror movie.
Wasn't even that. Like, for the Boneyard match, we got Final Deletion vibes. This was like, I've never seen anything like this in a wrestling match or in a wrestling show, period.
Yeah.
This
is like taking a wrestling promo and shoving it up its own ass.
It's like you say to Stanley Kubrick, okay, come up with a movie about wrestling.
Kinda.
And this is what he probably, you know, he would have given us.
I love the trip down Cena's whole career.
That was just rock and roll. That really was.
I love Cena coming out in the prototype tights, the SmackDown fist.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And the fact that his hair, he grew his hair back out, worked perfectly for the prototype outfit that he came out in.
Well, no, because like he's got the movie hair he's had for a while.
Yeah.
But like he's still kind of buzz cut during prototype.
Yeah, it was that crazy spiky buzz cut deal.
Yeah. I love this progression from all these moments and changes through John Cena's career, and when he turns it against Bray, we kind of do a flashback of Bray's career too.
Yep.
We get. Back to the point 6 years ago at WrestleMania where Cena had the chance to lay out Bray. And he didn't take it. And this time he took
it. Yeah. No, it was so well done.
It was surreal, ethereal, and thoroughly, thoroughly entertaining. And this could have been the main, you know, like the last thing they showed tonight, which would have been very similar to what they did last night with the Boneyard.
When he had him in the Sister Abigail, and they're playing back John's own words against him.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. That's such a good touch.
It was. They did. There are a lot of little nuances in this thing that they did a really good job with.
I love Evil Vince.
This is hilarious. With the devil horns?
No, this is good shit, which is his famous line for like really liking a really shit angle.
I'm wondering if he saw this before they aired it and what his reaction to all of that was.
None of this shit goes to air without his approval.
Let's remember, Vince McMahon is the guy who pissed himself on national television for an entertainment purpose.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
And I'm glad everybody who was participating was so game to do what they did. Like, if John Cena wasn't game to do all that stuff that they had him do, this could have gone so much worse. So big props to the two involved by like just going all over the map like that.
I did enjoy the rap diss. I'm glad that, you know, at least for a little bit.
There's a little bit of like, I got a little bit of Southpaw Championship Wrestling vibes.
Yeah, with the Saturday Night Main Event deal.
Yeah. Like, oh, wait, we finally got heel John Cena.
Yeah.
Because he came out in NWO gear.
Oh.
But yeah, no, that was just really, that was cool. And of course, Bray wins. So, well, the Fiend wins.
Yeah, the Hollywood Man can't have a real match, but we can do this.
No. There you go. So, and that's it. That was night two, guys. And that wraps up WrestleMania for yet one more year. It is almost 1 o'clock in the morning for you, Omega, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, then what we're going to have to do here is just run through all of this really quickly and get finished so you can go to bed.
Yeah.
Or get back to editing your video, depending. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
There you go. So let's just take a look real quick. Now it's time for Pick 'em. Starting off at the bottom, in 15th place, last place, the video game WWE 2K20. Rock did a two-night run-through this past week, and WWE 2K20 got five matches right and 11 wrong. Magic 8-Ball, 7 right, 9 wrong.
Not a good night for inanimate objects.
Not at all. Not a great night for Rob. Rob came in 13th place, 7 and 11.
They're open 24/7, though.
There you go. But, yeah.
But they still put locks on the door.
There you go. Well, there's a reason for that.
Sometimes they close.
Yeah, no, they close overnight on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And so they lock the doors once a year. That doesn't include all the times they get robbed. Because when the 7-Eleven gets robbed, they have to lock the doors until the cops get there. So I know this because I used to manage one. Anyway, 12th place, Amy. Amy, so glad that you've pulled through and things are going great for you. I've been cheering for you and hoping for you, and I'm glad that everything's good. You've got 11 and 5. Now, 8th place, we've got a 4-way tie. Jobber, Omega, Rock, and Subway all went 11 and 7, which is different from 7-11. It's 11-7. Sheila, all by yourself, 12 and 3. Chris P and Tommy tied in 5th place at 12 and 4. Lindsay is 13 and 5, all by herself in 4th place. Hey, Casey, you're in 3rd place, 14 and 3.
Hey, I'll take it.
There you go. So you made your bronze medal.
Yeah, I'm on the podium.
There you go. Intern didn't win the silver. He lost the gold. Second place all by himself, 14 and 4. Hey, was that everybody who played Pick'em?
That'll do it for another edition of WTR Sunday Live right here on
nice
the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Nice tomorrow night. Rock, shut up. Because I know how much you hate when I win Pick'em, like now. All by myself in first place, 15 and 3.
Great.
I'm number one. I got bragging rights.
Great.
So there.
Fantastic. I want to go bad. Let's do
talks. No, it's WrestleMania, not bragging rights.
Oh, you and you're doing that. That's the second time. All right, everybody. That's it. It's time to go to bed. On the way out, really, really quick on the plugs. Raw post show tomorrow night, immediately following Raw. Listen and... That's what you do. Fortnite with friends, it happens. Pay attention to social media, you'll find out. But usually winds up on Thursday nights right before the multi-time, multi-award-winning Rack show. What did you say?
After.
Oh, I thought it was before. Right after the multi-time, multi-award-winning Rack Radio Show with Lindsay Ward. Tune in this Thursday night. They're going to take a look at night two. And apparently Lindsay will wind up, I guess, being double pregnant just because of the Firefly Funhouse thing.
We're going to break down the Firefly Funhouse piece by piece by piece by piece. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. You don't want to miss it.
There you go. Midnight Eastern is close. They can get to it. Saturday nights, it's another edition of CB Radio. And... next Sunday night, if we got something to talk about, we're going to be here regular time, 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern, for another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. Follow me, yours truly, on the Twitter machines at Flames Forums. unless you want to get my serious, no holds barred, no bullshit, politically incorrect side, then that is at Voicing Sanity. That's me. Omega's all over the interwebs, almost everywhere you could think of going.
If you want to follow me, mostly just Google TJ Omega, because you'll find stuff. But for specifics, over on Facebook, it is TJ Reviews. Over on Twitter, it is TJ Omega. On YouTube, it is TJ Omega. And for a little bit that is not on YouTube, it is TJOmega.net.
When you called yourself the Plastic Addict, you never gave one thought about the non-geeks who might have heard that term, hey?
I think before I settled on that as the show name, I did Google it a few times. Mm-hmm. See, like, is this term being used anywhere else? For plastic surgeon. Okay.
Yeah, if I were you, the next time you're looking for a show name, make sure Safe Search is off. That'll give you more results. Casey, where are you on the Googles?
You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Driver. That is the word pile driver. Just replace the P with a K. I also have a fan page on Facebook if anybody wants to find me on there. And that's just Keishi Matsunaga. Hopefully you can find the proper spelling.
There you go. And let's see, just the only thing to plug is websites and social media. At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. At WTR Sunday Night on Twitter. And Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/ what is it, Rock? WTR?
Facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night.
Yeah, there you go. Are we done plugging? I think we are.
Follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTR Live, and Amazon Prime, like YouTube, Twitch accounts, go to Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free by hitting the purple rectangular button above the screen. Use credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. #ad, Epic Partner.
Yeah, nobody understands what you're talking about because you talk way too fast.
I'm tired. Go to the end of the show,
too. You must live in the East, and you must be tired and want to go to bed.
Yeah.
So that's it, everybody. Have yourselves a great week. We will possibly talk to you next Sunday night right here, Wild Talk Radio Network with Russell Talk Radio.
WildTalkRadio.com